Raising kids is tough enough these days, but things can get even tougher when we've been blessed with a strong-willed child. Is it possible to take what has traditionally been known to be a struggle and turn it into a blessing? Strategies for bringing out the best in your strong-willed children, next on Licensed to Parent. Welcome to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long Christ-centered residential program helping teens in crisis. Our goal on Licensed to Parent? To take the lessons learned each day at the proving ground of Shepherd's Hill Academy and share them with you so that, God willing, you can avoid many of the problems that other parents with teens are dealing with. And, Trace, it seems that just about every family has at least one strong-willed child to contend with at one time or another. We certainly have. Has the strong-willed child ever visited the Embry home in the course of your child-rearing days?
Well, as you know, Rich, Shepherd's Hill is one big strong-willed child extravaganza, so I'm certainly no stranger to the subject, but her name is Allison Catherine Embry, now Allison Wallace, the same Allison who now oversees both the boys and the girls programs here at Shepherd's Hill, so she's running a program, not in one.
You've got a strong-willed child managing the strong-willed
exactly.
child. This should be an interesting battle.
It works really well, I'm going to tell you. But did I tell you she actually is on the nest right now? Did I tell you that?
No.
Yeah, this will be her first offspring.
Oh, wow.
My fourth grandbaby. And you know the grandkids, Rich, are really just God's reward for not killing your own kids, right?
I don't have grandkids yet, and I'm glad to say I haven't killed any of my own. But
I got to tell you this story, just to give you an idea of how strong-willed she actually was. One day, Allie and her brother, Andrew, were in the back seat of our minivan arguing over some number. I don't really remember what the number was, but Andrew would say, it's 1,000. Allison would say, it's 1,000,000. But no, it's 1,000, 1,000,000, 1,000. And it went back and forth for as long as I could stand it, hoping that they'd get it resolved on their own. Finally, without turning my head around or threatening to stop the car, I bounced a laser-like stare off the rearview mirror that caught both their eyes, and I just calmly said, that's enough, guys. If one of you needs the last word that bad, all I want to hear is how much you love the other. Otherwise, you're both on silence till we get home. And after a short pause, Allison says, Andrew, I love you 1,000,000. We lost it.
And he left her 1,000, I'm sure.
Right. No, he knew not to say anything. He didn't say anything. He was a pretty compliant kid. But, you know, if I had said that to my dad when I was a kid, I'm sure, I'm not really sure, actually, how he would respond to that, but I'm
probably
pretty sure.
He would have pulled the car over.
He would have pulled the car over, and I would have eventually been found in a shallow grave on the side of the road.
Well, we hope not. But, you know, we've got a special guest today who has a good understanding of strong-willed children, and she's been addressing groups, teaching on the subject for quite some time. In fact, for over 25 years, today's guest has been sharing her philosophy on how to succeed in life with a strong-willed child. Her message is meant for people of all ages because, as she rightly points out, the mind of a strong-willed child looks different at every age. Mm-hmm. Our guest is Cynthia Tobias. She's the best-selling author of 9 books, and I love the titles. They include You Can't Make Me, But I Can Be Persuaded, The Way They Learn, The Way We Work, Every Child Can Succeed, Do You Know What I Like About You? And the one my children would probably agree with most, I Hate School. Cynthia is a popular presenter at workshops, classes, and seminars for business, government agencies, churches, and school districts all throughout the U.S. and around the world. She's a featured guest on radio and television throughout North America, now including in that lineup, Licensed to Parent. She's taught her audiences that many of the learning style traits in their children that may be inconvenient or irritating are actually signs of their greatest potential strengths. Incidentally, what we always like to point out, Cynthia Tobias is also a mom to twin sons, both of whom are now college graduates and off to change the world. And I say that as the father of a recent college graduate myself.
Congratulations. Cynthia, welcome to the Licensed to Parent broadcast.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be here.
Now, in your book, You Can't Make Me, But I Can Be Persuaded.
Which is a great title.
Great title. Love it.
Thanks.
You're writing about ways to deal with strong-willed kids. How did you come to some of these strategies?
Well, it probably won't surprise you that it takes one to know one. So I am one, and I had one. My mother prayed that would be so, because what goes around kind of comes
exactly.
around.
Exactly.
But during my graduate studies and in my work with teachers and kids, it really became an area of specialty quite quickly, because there is something very special about the strong-willed child. They have the power, and I should say we have the power to either be the best thing in your life or the worst thing in your life, and that can change in a matter of seconds. Mm-hmm. And there's so much power, so much potential, and world changers like crazy. But how you handle us makes all the difference in the world. And I've talked now to thousands of strong-willed kids of all ages, all across the country, all ethnic mixes. I've talked to kids that have gone to church all their lives and kids that never will. I've talked to kids who've never been in trouble, and I've worked with juveniles being tried for capital crimes as adults and everything in between. And putting that together, it's the word God just gave me this great gift of being able to put it together and put that voice out for the others to hear. That's not just me, but I'm just a voice for strong-willed kids and adults everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Cynthia, for the sake of this conversation, let's try to put a definition around this. What does a child have to do or be to get the strong-willed label, in your opinion?
Well, let's see what they're not first. First of all, strong-will isn't, everybody thinks, well, strong-willed means rebellious, obnoxious, in your face, and rude, and that's not strong will. Mm-hmm. That's strong will gone sideways, granted, but it's not strong will. Mm. Strong will in and of itself is a very desirable and wonderful trait. We're not easily daunted. We're not easily conquered. We have the strength of our convictions. We want to do the right thing. When you have strong will by itself, and then you use it in the right direction, it's an unstoppable force. It's like having the special ops in God's army, right? The special ops unit mm-hmm. that says, impossible? Give me a minute, yeah. Right? So yeah. You want the strong will. You can fight disease. You can fight hardship. You want to be able to cultivate that in your child. But in doing so, you've got kind of a light and a dark side, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, what do we do when that strong-willed child is determined to do the wrong thing?
Well, of course, that's not an easy question or answer, and there's no simple recipe. But one of the things that we've done in the book, talking to the strong-willed kids and saying, all right, let's tell parents, teachers, loved ones how to bring out the best in us. And I didn't get any response, and I've talked to probably 10,000 by now, maybe, but I've never gotten any response that says, well, we think you should let us get by with bad behavior. Mm-hmm. Nobody, right. Not even the kids that are in trouble. It's not that we won't do what you say. It's not authority that we have a problem with. It's how you communicate your authority. Sure. And so coming at me with your bony finger that says, if you don't do this, this is going to happen to you, and you understand me, and I mean it, and this is the last time, well, I was just about to do it for you. But then you came at me, and you told me I didn't have a choice, and suddenly something in me stands up and says, you have to prove that you still have control over yourself, and you can do what you want.
Well, I can confirm what you're saying is exactly true, because my daughter would tell me that years ago. Dad, it's not what you tell me to do, it's how you've told me to do it.
Yeah, which, again, comes back to the title of your book, which I really do love. You can't make me, but I can be persuaded.
Yeah. Well, earlier, you know, when I was young and stupid and in my BC days, I would say things to like my oldest son. I would say, I'm not interested in seeing you alive until that's finished. You know, and that's not the way to go about it.
I don't know. You know, the sense of humor, it's one of the big factors that comes up a lot. And the lightening up a little bit, instead of saying, you know, I can't believe you just said that. You know that that's not appropriate. Being able to say, whoa, that was a good one. Mm-hmm. You know, you're the master of a quick comeback. I think you and I both realize it's not appropriate. Sure love how your mind works, though.
Yeah.
But here's you're going to have to pay a ticket for what you just did. And it's just a little lightening up.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was trying to do when I did it. But my oldest son didn't take it that way. He let me know, Dad, I don't like that.
well, at least he talked to you.
At least he talked. Right. We had a good conversation about it. Should we ever tell our children that they are strong-willed?
Oh, I think so. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we encourage the kids to come to the seminars with their parents every once in a while, because that you can turn to your kid as I'm talking about some of this and you say, what do you think? Is that true? Is she right? Is this? And they get a chance to go, yeah, that's, I wish you could just figure out that that's what I feel. Mm-hmm. So I think talking about it, because one of the things strong-willed kids need most of all is transparency.
Right.
don't come at me with smoke and mirrors and all your manipulation and whatever. Come at me straight on.
Right.
I'm not sure how to get this across because I obviously didn't get it across the right way the first time. But yeah. I do need you to do this, and I wonder, maybe there's another way that I'm missing. Maybe you could help me out. It's just come clean with me.
That's right.
And you need a do-over? Just say, hey, well, I need a do-over. I'm not apologizing for asking what I needed you to do. I'm apologizing for how I asked it. Why don't you and I figure out a better way?
Boy, if I had to do that a number of times.
Yeah. Cynthia, right? You mentioned a moment ago, you were saying that being strong-willed is not the same as being rebellious, for example. How do you respond, though, to people who have bought into the idea that teenagers in general are going to rebel and it's just part of growing up? As parents, to me, that seems like a dangerous approach to take.
Right. And of course, you know, I just finished a book, just came out this last year with a friend about middle school, The Inside Story, What Kids Tell Us and Don't Tell You. And one of the biggest things as we were going through the book with these young teenagers is they're really searching for their own identity, for their own personal faith, seeking to how do I become an adult? What do I do? That in and of itself is not rebellion. That's what, you know, when say all teens have to go through that. Well, that's
right.
True. But they need you more than ever as they figure that out because mm-hmm. they need you not to freak out.
That's right.
That was one of the big things, you know, that the teenager said. They're trying to figure it out. So one of the greatest things we can do is simply model for them what it's like to be a good adult.
Right.
And we forget that the very words that we say to them, they're figuring out that must be how you talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
That must be how you get what you want. And so they certainly, when they're younger, start parroting it back. But as they're going through their teen years, what looks like rebellion and a kid who's hanging around with the wrong crowd and all that, that may be true. But they were trying to figure out, in their 10 to 14 age especially, they were trying to figure out, Who am I supposed to be?
Mm-hmm.
How am I supposed to work this? And
yeah.
the adults in my life, the things that happen in my life, I'm learning from. And the parent doesn't always realize you're more of a model than you think.
That's right. That's exactly right. Cynthia, does Scripture specifically address the subject of kids that are, as we would say, strong-willed?
Well, I don't know that, you know, if you look at some of the Bible characters, certainly I think Peter was very strong-willed,
mm-hmm.
obviously.
Sure.
I think Esther was strong-willed in the right direction. I think mm-hmm. one of the, Proverbs 22:6, of course, says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I ran into a chaplain in the Air Force several years ago who is a Greek and Hebrew scholar. He reads the Septuagint for after-dinner light reading.
And
he pulled me aside and he said, you know, you might be interested to know that particular verse, he said the word train is used uniquely as it's used nowhere else in the Bible. And he said it's the word that they used for when the baby was first born for the clearing of the mouth so he could breathe. And so if you look in the Amplified Bible and then you put this chaplain's overlay over it, that verse really says, train up a child. Well, that means create an environment for life. That's literally what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Create an environment for life for a child when he's grown. He won't depart from it.
In other words, find his bent, basically, right?
Exactly. That's what I left out. And according to his individual gifts or bents is what the Amplified Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
So if you say create an environment of life for a child according to his individual gifts or bents, then he will not depart from it. And I think that's true. And that doesn't mean that you let them off with bad behavior.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't respect you if you did. It
right.
doesn't
that's
mean
exactly
you don't have
right.
accountability, but it means that you do take into account, I want my home and to be an environment for life for this child.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be different for every child. I had twin boys, 2 minutes apart, Pete and Repeat, and they're as opposite as they can be.
Yeah.
So creating an environment for life and something that nurtures and cultivates who they are, you have to be careful.
Yeah, we have to mold the clay we've been given, and sometimes it takes a soft hand, and sometimes it takes a hammer and chisel.
Yeah.
That's right.
Why do parents have problems with their kids asking why?
Yeah, my wife was that way as a child. She wanted to ask every question in the world,
uh-huh.
and it drove her mom nuts.
I know. Well, And this is funny because as a strong-willed child, we can dish it out, but we can't take it. We ask why a lot. But but we don't want you to ask why, because for some reason, especially if you put why and you in the same sentence, it just instantly raises our defenses. Hmm. I don't understand why you can't just, and why don't you, and what, and instantly we've closed up. Mm-hmm. We've locked down. We have nothing else to say. And yet when you ask us to do something, we ask you why, and a lot of times it's because, as a strong-willed child, I just want you to have some reasons. I don't necessarily have to agree with them,
right,
but could you please have some?
Sure.
Because my why is trying to figure out, what if I learn best by arguing? Mm-hmm. And it's nothing personal, but I'm trying to figure out, why do you have to do it that way? Yeah. What if there's another way to do it?
Well, there are those times when a child saying why is a bit manipulative. They're perhaps trying to avoid it. But there are, as you're pointing out, those other times where it's merely intrigue. It's questioning. It's wanting to understand. How can parents better tell the difference between these two different whys?
Well,
how
again,
can they be wise with whys?
Real clear recipe for that. I'll tell you one. This is a corresponding story to Allison and Andrew. When I was about four and asking why, and my mother would get so exasperated, finally she said, to make little girls like you ask questions.
That's not a bad answer.
You can't make me ask a question. I'm not going to ask it. Again, it's just, you know, sometimes a sense of humor, sometimes a smile, and sometimes when you say, are you actually trying to make me mad at you? And they can say, no, I just wanted to know. Or I've had, you know, my strong-willed son every once in a while would say, yeah, I guess I kind of was.
Yeah.
And then we're smiling. And it's just awareness is half the battle of what you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. And trying to stay calm and trying to stay respectful in your manner and model for them how you want them to talk back and treat you.
Yeah. I run across a lot of parents here at Shepherd's Hill Academy who would tell me that their child is compliant with their friends, their teachers, their coaches, their youth pastors, etc. It's only them they seem to be strong-willed with. What's going on there?
Well, you know, it depends, I think, of course, a lot on the interaction. But mm-hmm. one of the things that we notice, for instance, working with learning styles, if you're in a situation where you have to be a way that you're actually not wired to be, and you have to do it all day, every day, in and out. By the time you get back home, or you can be who you are, you've used up all your energy to be what you're not.
Good point.
For example, I mean, if you've got a child who just struggles with school like crazy, and in order to even survive, has to use every ounce of her strength and energy all day at school, then by the time she gets home with you where she can finally relax and be herself, she's got nothing left over. She just is who she is, and there's no way to bring balance into her life. So you can recognize that and start. You know, there's just no simple way. But again, awareness is half the battle, and helping your child become aware. Why do you, instead of saying why do you think it doesn't work, you're saying, wow, must have been a really tough day at school, huh?
Yeah. Our guest today is best-selling author and speaker Cynthia Tobias. Cynthia, tell me again the name of your latest book that's just coming out, The Inside Story.
It's called Middle School, The Inside Story. It's what kids tell us and don't tell you. We had a great time getting into the hearts and minds of adolescents, early adolescents. And they told us a few things that they don't feel comfortable telling their parents, a few insights, and they are actually excited about the book and hoping their parents read it along with them.
Very cool.
If you go to CynthiaTobias.com, you can take a look at a little excerpt. And we also have a lot of free downloadable PDFs, like on the Strong-Willed Child Emergency Kit or the Top 10 Tips for Bringing Out the Best in a Strong-Willed Child of Any Age. You can just pull that right off the website and stick it on your refrigerator.
And we will have a link to that website on our website, LicensedToParent.org. We have to take a quick break. Back with more conversation with our guest, Cynthia Tobias, on Licensed to Parent.
Being a teen in today's culture is tough. Being a parent of a troubled teen can be even tougher. If you feel like pulling your hair out, or worse, your family may be in crisis. Sometimes we make light of our family situations to help us deal with them, but that really doesn't fix the underlying problems. Shepherd's Hill Academy is here to help find the root of the problem, as well as healing and hope. But if residential care is not a fit for you, Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching can provide you with decades of experience from the front lines to help you overcome the challenges your family is facing. And best of all, we meet with you where you are with simple phone calls. Family Coaching is a dynamic partnership that helps you discern God's will and reach goals for your family that are biblical. Basically, live the life your family was designed for, and that's no joke. Information about Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching is available at licensedtoparent.org.
Teen rebellion, depression, addiction, rage, cutting, and suicide are destroying our families today. But there is a way out. Shepherd's Hill Academy offers a 12-month, Christ-centered, nonprofit residential program where kids are being transformed with a biblical worldview and often medication-free. Christian apologist Ravi Zacharias is just one of many Christian leaders who understands what's happening at Shepherd's Hill Academy.
It really is such an honor to come alongside Shepherd's Hill Ministries and Licensed to Parent to rescue those who have been seduced along the way. I cannot gainsay how important this is, and to get behind a ministry like this, one will find the rewards to be extremely powerful in changing society.
Get the help you need at Shepherd's Hill Academy. Go to helpmytroubledteen.org. helpmytroubledteen.org.
Welcome back. This is Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy. And our guest today is Cynthia Tobias. Cynthia is the best-selling author of a number of books. And right before the break, we were talking about her latest one, The Middle School, The Inside Story, What Kids Tell Us and Don't Tell You. And Cynthia, during the break, you mentioned why kids often don't tell their parents things that their parents need to know. What is going on there with that lack of conversation?
It was interesting because we spent time with kids that we knew and kids that we didn't know, and they all just talked to us like crazy. And this was one of the things that came up over and over. Why don't you talk to your parents more? Why, you know, your parents are frustrated that you're non-communicative. And the kids readily said, well, first of all, they interrupt us all the time. They get mad at us for interrupting them. Mm-hmm. But we start to talk about something, and they just kind of brush it away and go on with their lives. And the other thing is, well, they freak out. They get all upset because, for instance, one student said, well, I'm struggling with my concept of God, and why do we go to this church, and is God really real, and how do we know? And the reason I can't even mention it with my parents is they would absolutely go over the edge. They would think I'm some kind of rebel and in horrible shape, and so I just don't talk to them about that
and
stuff.
I think that's more true with Christian families than in the secular family.
I think it is, too. It's amazing how we as parents get so worried about things and are not willing to hear the hard stuff from our kids. And I guess one of the big lessons we need to take away from this conversation is sit, be still, and listen, and wait until the child is finished and then reply.
Mm-hmm. Right. And one of the things I loved, my co-author on that book, Sue Acuna, is a 20-year veteran of middle school, and she teaches at a Christian school. And one of the things she tells her kids, because they feel free to express their concerns about their relationship with God to her, she reassures them. She says, you know, God isn't afraid of your doubts. He's not going to push you aside just because you're wondering about who he is. Right. And that's really what they are worried about. And their parents tend to reinforce that because they don't give them a little space to figure out who they are.
Wow. Now, she's been stuck in middle school for 20 years. I think
she
those were some of the most challenging.
Going to class. She's one of those crazy middle school teachers that every parent wishes their kid could have, that's for sure.
Yeah.
When one of our strong-willed kids engages in activities that other Christian parents might see or might not see as battles worth fighting, like listening to gangster rap, what counsel would you give the parent who keeps finding this kind of music on Junior's CD collection, on his iPod, or maybe on his radio dial?
Well, one of the things, of course, you do decide ahead of time what you're going to go to the wall for, but some of those lyrics and some of those things are pretty serious. And so I think the one thing I always recommend is you start with a question. Mm-hmm. Wow, is this something that I should be worried about? Oh, no. Well, can I ask you this question? Does listening to this music, does it draw you closer to God or push you farther away from him. Mm-hmm. You know, just to get the child talking back to you, well, there's nothing wrong with it. Well, all my friends do it.
Yeah.
And at least they're talking to you. And again, your question opens up conversation, whereas I cannot believe you are listening to this. Not in my house. Do you mm-hmm. understand? This is not what we do. Well, that's only going to produce anger and defensiveness and probably more rebellion than it would have been in the first place. So again, coming in, instead of coming in real hot, coming in saying, oh, is this something that you're proud of? Is this something you really want to, do you think this is acceptable? Do you feel good about having this? Often opens a conversation that's much better.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. But I would also have to say that I think there does need to be some standards in the home that Junior knows ahead of time cannot be crossed, you know, some lines that can't be crossed. And
absolutely. But and that's where you're going, of course, with the conversation.
Sure.
You know, the bottom line is this: we don't allow it. Do you
yes.
understand why we don't?
Right.
Do you understand why I'd be concerned about having this
good.
In our house?
Yeah.
Can you give me a couple of reasons? And so that they do know why.
Very good.
Because they do need to know why.
Sure. No, I totally agree with that. And I think parents need to just, like you said, slow down a little bit and prepare themselves to answer the whys. I welcomed my kids to ask me why. I wanted to tell them. It gave me a reason to engage with them when they asked why. We're about ready to wrap this thing up. I could talk all day with you. Final words for a parent dealing with a strong-willed child.
If they remember only one thing, what should it be?
Right.
There are no accidents. God gave you this strong-willed child very deliberately and on purpose. And even at the times when you're most exasperated, most frustrated, remember, this child will change the world one way or the other, mm-hmm. and God trusted him or her with you. It's a daunting challenge sometimes, but in the end, it's going to be worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. We've been talking today with a former strong-willed child, perhaps current strong-willed child, and mother of strong-willed child, Cynthia Tobias. Cynthia is a best-selling author of, I guess now, 10 books, including You Can't Make Me, But I Can Be Persuaded, The Way They Learn, The Way We Work, Every Child Can Succeed, Do You Know What I Like About You, and I Hate School. You can learn more about Cynthia, find her books and other resources on her website, CynthiaTobias.com. And this is Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long residential Christ-centered program working with teens in crisis and their families. It's our desire to be able to continue this ministry for a long time, as long as it's needed, and that means we need your help. If there's any way that you could become one of our financial ministry partners, it would be a great blessing to us. Licensed to Parent and Shepherd's Hill Academy are both nonprofit organizations, and it's only through your gifts and donations that we're able to continue working with teens here at Shepherd's Hill Academy and with parents through this Licensed to Parent broadcast. And your gift in any amount will be a tremendous blessing. You can give securely online when you visit our website, licensedtoparent.org. Just click on the donate button, and again, your donations are tax deductible in the United States. Thanks so much for joining us. For Trace Embry, I'm Rich Rosel. Please be sure and join us again next time so you can once again renew your license to parent.
And remember, folks, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. We'll see you next time.